Well, one day is Thursday, October 16, 2025, and this is the week in charts. I'll let you go. Thank all you guys and girls for attending. I continue to do a poor job getting the word out. I work on my slides up until the last 5 minutes, and sometimes during the show, I had to realize, wait a minute, did I announce this or anything? But shows are usually most Thursdays at 11 Central, 12 Eastern, in case you're looking for them. DaveLanner.com/webinar. Sign up for one, and you should be signed up for all. So, what are we going to talk about? Oh, obviously, current market conditions. Boy, I have a lot to say about that. Your questions on trading, your favorite stock, and crypto picks. And then I'm going to continue to focus mostly on the methodology in action because we have so many setups, knock on wood, come in, that worked. Okay. And so, this is what we live for. And as I say, that's the missing piece. And we'll get to that in just 1 second. And then obviously, just type your questions in as you have them. There's my contact information. I have a better slide on that in a second you can grab. There's a disclaimer screen. As you know, you can lose money trading or as often summing up. All predictions are about the future, and a lot of stuff can happen between now and then. There's again my follow-up. If you need to follow up with me on anything, you can also reach me at DaveLandry.com. If you're watching this on YouTube, like and subscribe. And if you don't like it, go have no fun somewhere else. I'm half kidding. As I've been saying ad nauseam, the missing piece is for novice traders and even not so novice traders is to be able to see somebody else trade and see what they're actually doing. Okay. And I'm a little tripped up there because what I wanted to say is actually doing, provided it's something simple and repeatable. And believe me, with the nickname trend following moron, this is very simple and very repeatable. I years ago there was a day trader who was trading E-minis, and I was part of a website, and he was one of the guys on there. And he was good at what he did, and from what I could tell, he made money, but nobody could follow him because by the time he got the alert out, he and people were trying to get in, he was already getting out, and it really caused a lot of animosity between the clients and all, but believe me, this is very much repeatable, and that's one thing that I spend a lot of time on sometimes is repeatability. Can you do it again? And like I was talking with my peeps in the Facebook group, and occasionally I mentioned a story about a buddy of mine who turned 5K into a million. Unfortunately, he round tripped it, and my point to him was when he was close to a million is, hey, if you're that good, then do it again. And so obviously, it wasn't repeatable. But anyway, this is very much repeatable, and it's actually shocking to me how simple it could be. Because believe me, I try to occasionally overcomplicate things, and it's really cut and dry. It's really simple. The missing piece, I think, is waiting for the market to trend, and of course, stock selection is crucial too. But stock selection is very teachable. Okay, we have a mystery chart this week. And this, look at the trend of this thing. Okay, look at the Landry light. Lows have been greater than the moving average for 73 bars. That's a long, long, long time. Also, notice that this is one of my favorite things to look for, in addition to persistency, is that it was in a fairly decent uptrend, kind of a gradual uptrend, but an uptrend nonetheless. And then it began to accelerate higher. That's what I call accelerating momentum strategy. Now, a lot of my patterns dovetail or my setups dovetail in with each other. So something like this, you look for something like a TKO type of move, which we had right here. And by the way, you don't sit around going through trending stocks all day, although do keep a momentumless and look at it. What you do is you look at a bunch of stocks like I do with a loose parameter scan. So something like this TKO will be caught. And you'll see a lot of trending stocks that are in the process of setting up. But of course, you can copy those over to your momentum list. I also track the Landry 100, which we'll talk about in a few minutes, I'll at least just touch upon. Anyway, nice little trend knockout move. So there's all the parameters. It's the first one on the list. Let me just show you in a chart. Entries here above that TKO bar. Stop is down here. And initial profit target is up here. What I love about the TKO is, well, a few things. One, from a psychological perspective, it's very easy to explain so you can wrap your head around it. Trading needs to be conceptually correct. Okay. So conceptually correct in this particular case is you have a trend. So you have demand for the stock. You have a lot of demand, so much demand that the stock hasn't even touched its 30-day exponential moving average in 73 days, okay? So you have that working for you. So you know people want in. Now, you also have potentially eager shorts. Shorts tend to confuse the issue with facts, and they tend to short stocks that are at high levels because it makes sense. Well, unfortunately, a lot of things that make sense don't work in the markets, especially when you're trying to interject fundamentals or themes, which we'll get to in a little bit. But anyway, what happens is you have different players. You have the Johnny Come Latelys who are just kind of throwing in a towel. They're buying probably in this gap right here to all-time highs. And the shorts are coming in and going like, this stock does not deserve this valuation or whatever the logical reasoning they have. Again, confusing the issue with facts. So they short it. Now, when the knockout bar happens, it probably attracts in more shorts, okay? And as importantly, it knocks out a lot of those nervous Nellies. Now, those nervous Nellies are the last in and the first out. That's a FOMO trader. So the market sucks him in on FOMO, and then it spits them out, okay? Now, the shorts are feeling pretty damn good because they're instantly vindicated. But shorts have big egos as a general statement, okay? They're like, I got this one. And then it starts going back up again. And then they're not inclined to dump it. In fact, they might be inclined to actually short more. And there's actually a strategy I learned of years ago, which I was not aware. And I would strongly urge you not to attempt it, okay? But it's called shorting the parabolics. And I think the reason that a lot of these stocks go parabolic sometimes, not a lot, but some of them after the nice little TKO move, is because the shorts refuse to give up. And finally, they get forced out, possibly a margin call, whatever, and that squeezes them higher. So that kind of got me into the mind of the short player as it dovetails in with the TKO type of pattern. But anyway, my favorite ones are big wide range bars down. It should stick out like a sore thumb. Sometimes people will show me a TKO, and in the rules, it just has to be a two bar low, okay? But it also has to be on an expansion of range. So maybe you should plot not an ATR, but a high minus low at the bottom of your chart and just see if that was a big spike in the range, which I'll show you in 1 second on a chart. I'll show you the high minus low range thing. Anyway, if they're somewhat extreme, the beauty of it is, it's what I call a textbook TKO. And this one's close to a textbook TKO. A textbook TKO, you have a very wide range bar down, and it starts at the top and it ends on the bottom, okay? Now, when that occurs, you can put your entry right above the high, as we did here, and then you stop not too far below the low. Maybe give it a little wiggle room. This one, like I said, could have been a little bit more wider to the downside, but it certainly qualifies as TKO. Not quite what I would call a textbook TKO, but close to it. And a lot of times, they close in their ass like that, and then they just keep on dropping, okay? And then no capital gets in the harm's way. But if they can make it all the way back up, especially if it happens the day after the big bang down, okay? And maybe that's something, and I'm just thinking out loud here, because like in this case, this is a 1, 2, 3, 4. This will probably be the fourth or fifth day, fourth day, okay? So let's say this triggers today. This would be day 4 from the setup of the TKO. So I'd prefer them if they trigger more quickly. And if somebody's interested in doing some research, please do and let me know what you find on that. But I like it when I can wrap my head around it from a psychological standpoint and say, okay, number one, we got shorts sucked in, and number two, they all got spit out. Not the shorts, but the longs, the nervous Nellies, they got spit out. The shorts are immediately vindicated when it goes down, okay? But then when it flips back up, they're in a bit of a predicament too. So it sucks a lot of these traders in, and then it spits them out. The shorts a little bit more later, maybe down the road, and that's when the stock goes parabolic. And then more shorts pile on. But anyway, so that's the setup going into, well, for today, I should say, if it doesn't trigger tomorrow. Here's another one, another mystery chart. These mystery charts come straight from my trading service, and then they might occasionally be a mystery chart that I mentioned in my Facebook group to my peeps that I show here. But I like to show these charts obviously ahead of time so you can follow along at home. So this is a IPO. This is what I call a first deep retracement. And that's when an IPO kind of takes off. Sometimes IPOs get a little ahead of themselves. They just take off all this excitement and all, and then they come right back in fairly hard. And then that third leg, and I hate to use the word ABC because that sounds like a wave count or something, but kind of like an ABC type of move, that C leg out is the real move. Anyway, so there are the parameters down below. You can see the entry is here, stop is here, initial profit target is up there. Fairly loose parameters because it's a fairly volatile IPO. Now, Mr. Wallace once said, as I talked about recently, there's an abundance of opportunity for the man who will go with the tide instead of swimming against it. So that's a fancy way of saying the trend is your friend. Now, he was talking about many other aspects of life, but it certainly applies to trading. That's Mr. Wallace, that is. So this is not a mystery chart because it's triggered in between shows, okay? So the mystery charts come straight from the trading service or possibly something I might mention in Facebook. And then if they trigger, obviously we follow up on them, okay? But this case, this one came, this one triggered in between. Anyway, you can see nice little entry light below. Also, another one of my favorite patterns, gradual uptrend. And then I forgot to mention earlier, persistency is something that's good too. Now this had really short-term persistency, but persistency is you could draw a line through as many bars as possible and intersect as many as possible. Mathematically, as I preach, that's equivalent to linear regression. I just like to draw lines on charts and more accurately eyeball it. And as I've said before, and I know it's kind of, I guess it's a little vain or whatever, but it was exciting for me, obviously. I was in Italy in this huge auditorium. It was like 500 people, and that's a lot of people for me, especially. We got like four here today. Anyway, that's another story. And the big screen was this huge screen. In fact, I think it might be on my website. If not, it's somewhere. Anyway, these bars on the screen were like 4 and 5 feet each. You know, the screen was just went on forever. And I noticed on that huge screen that short-term persistency, like you're seeing here, is very important too. Anyway, a little bit of a pullback here. Not quite to the 30 EMA, but good enough. Okay. And that's KYTX. You see the parameters down below. Entry was here. Stop was here. Initial profit target was here. Let's see what happens. Kind of takes off and it gets fairly close first day in the trade and consolidates a little bit, pulls back a second time. And now it's doing okay, possibly today notwithstanding. Now, last week I said in this particular case, so we had, let me just back that up a second. We had 1,200, as at the time of the snapshot, there was $1,280 open. That's on a hypothetical 100K account. I did take this particular trade. I did actually take partial profits already on this one. As I said last week, you have to think about the sustainable speed of money, okay? And this is the little high. This is just a simple high minus low formula, literally H minus L. That's it. And you should be able to recreate that in any package you want. But I just eyeball it like this is the biggest move this thing has made in a long, long time. Possibly the biggest move ever or close to it in this particular stock. Okay. And you got to ask yourself, okay, for your initial profit target, IPT. How far away from it is it? How fast did it almost get there? And of course, how close? Okay. I guess how far is how far it moves over a period of time. So in this particular case, it moved a long ways and it moved really fast. In a case like this, now I'm not just abandoning the system, but what I'm doing is I'm taking a gift horse and I'm not looking it in the mouth. I'm taking that gift horse type of reward, if you want to look at that gains. But anyway, this was a huge move. This does not happen every day, believe me. So in a case like that, I took profits a little early. And I think it has not officially hit the profit target. I think that's the only one. ABCL, we talked about a little bit. This was a prior mystery chart. There's all the parameters. And you can see it triggers an entry on that kind of that opening gap-ish reversal. I actually got into this one a little bit late because I used a little discretion on that entry. Now, discretion cuts both ways. Remember that VG trade I talked about? That one failed miserably with me trying to use discretion. For a while, it really improved the trade. And maybe that's one I need to circle back to. But that one, just so you know, failed miserably using discretion. But if you can hang on to one trade that really pays off or avoid a losing trade with a little bit of discretion, it makes all the difference in the world. But anyway, you can see, as I've been saying quite often, you know, you were in this trade forever and it was dead money. You had $190 negative open profits. So you're like, well, maybe I should bail. Nope, stick with the plan. And luckily, or fortunately, I should say, it hits the initial profit target and you bank $1,000. Now, that's on a hypothetical 100K account, 2% risk, which is $2,000. Okay. You're up $2,000. You take off $1,000 at the initial profit target. So now you have $920 open, maybe a little bit less with today's trading. And then that stop gets brought up from here to break even. And I have the animation on that in some other slides. All right, we have, I think a couple of Smoke'em If You Got 'Em's this week. Now, this was not a mystery chart. Again, this triggered intra week, but you can see nice, fairly clean uptrend. And notice the behavior of the stock. It goes up, consolidates, goes up, consolidates. This is, and I'm just kind of making this up as I go, but this is what I would call a stair step. And a beautiful stair step at that. So it goes up and it kind of makes these flat little bases, okay? Base upon top of base, and it stacks the bases on top of bases. And this is kind of reminiscent of something like Darvis. And by the way, that's a book I would highly recommend you read in spite of the title. It sounds like a lot of hype. It's actually a very basic book on technical analysis. And I wouldn't follow it directly in this day and age, but the principles make a lot of sense. And he was looking for these little boxes to stack on top of each other. And he would not buy the stock until it moved from one box to another. So in that case, it'd be like, okay, here's your box that's being set up down here. Don't buy it until it starts beginning to move to the next box. Now, that has a little bit of a breakout characteristic to it. I'm not a huge fan of breakout trading, although if you buy enough breakouts, it does work. Or if you're in a fantastic market, like the occasional bull market that we have in crypto, not right now, but occasionally, it can work out nicely. And if you're buying a lot of them, again, like the Landry 100, it could work out too. Anyway, you can see lots of Landry light down below. It pulls back. There's your parameters for the setup recommendation. You can get these at daveblair.com/archives, and if you want the newer ones, as soon as let's say like whatever day this was, this ATAI was in here, and as soon as that triggers, I would make this service public on YouTube, okay, out of courtesy to my clients, not put it with the live open setups. But anyway, so that's the parameters there. Entry is here, stop is here, initial profit target way up here. Let's see what happens. Triggers an entry, doesn't do a whole lot. Then it begins to take off. And this is the one back here somewhere, or maybe on this. No, it wasn't on that day. It was on this day here. I think it shot like to above the initial profit target. And one of my clients took profits at after hours. I woke up and saw it up so much, I just got excited. I'm like, oh, it's way past profit target. Let's just wait and see what happens. Maybe I could squeeze out some more profits on that. And when I got to my office later that morning, it's like, oh, wait a minute, this thing just did not materialize in real-time trading. So that's something to throw out there as a little fodder for research, something to think about. Maybe in the super volatile stocks, if I buy something that's total S&G type of stock, especially cheap, super volatile, whatever, I will put in those after-hour orders, okay? So, and I'll put in, like a lot of times I'll put in something for like a double, like an Tilray, TLRY, or something like that. Or some of the ones I played off the Landry 100, I did that. So that's something I occasionally do. I don't always put it at the initial profit target. Although with IPOs, I found myself in more recent times putting that limit order out there, good till canceled, with extended hours. The reason I don't put the limit order out there all the time is that I do like to be able to come in and use a little discretion, maybe put a trail stop that's real tight on half of those shares when that IPT has been hit and try to squeeze out a little extra profits intraday. So that would be one reason not to do that. But if there's something that's wild and crazy that tends to be spiky in after hours, it can work nicely. But anyway, in this particular case, we did officially hit that initial profit target. So the stop, of course, comes at the break even. And as my trader friend, Charlie Kirk, not the other Charlie Kirk, calls it free rolls after a free rolling after he saw my money management and was discussing it at his traders retreat. Anyway, so you're free rolling now, barring overnight gaps. The worst you can do is break even. And as you'll see with some of these other stocks that were long, there's a potential for a longer term home run. Now, this is another chart that triggered intra-week in between the shows. This was a stock that had based for a long time and really began to take off. And you can see you have nice Landry light down below. And it begins to pull back, not all the way to the 30 EMA, so it's technically not a Landry light pullback, but it's a pretty deep pullback nonetheless. Super volatile. I think I put cray-cray or crazy in here. Yeah, N-U-A-I, crazy, okay? And wild ass parameters, but that's what it called for. I think the HV in this thing was like 216 or something ridiculous. One of the highest HV stocks I've ever traded. Entry stop and initial profit target respectively. And this doesn't happen that often, but it's pretty exciting when it does. It hit the initial profit target on day one. And believe me, that would be great. Although that's a lot of fun, one thing to think about too, though, is the, as I said earlier, the sustainable speed of money. When it makes such a big move in one day, it's kind of hard for it to sustain. I'd actually prefer to kind of gradually get there and then consolidate a little bit and then take off again and behave in more of that stair step fashion. But I'll take it. So banked 1,000 again, we're up to break even. And the potential exists for a home run. Once you have your first loaf off, you take a half a position. I use the word loaf. I was with a hedge fund, and he always called it a loaf. So he put on 100 options or 1,000 options, whatever the case may be. And you know, he'd take a half loaf off, put a half loaf on, whatever. So that's where I got that terminology from. So I forget the how many shares was this. Let's see. So this was 2,200 shares, round numbers. So you take off half of those shares, which would be 1,100 shares, obviously. Anyway, so far so good on this one. I haven't checked back off. And yeah, these are getting hit a little bit today. It's like I hate when the day starts off great and then kind of deteriorates. I'd much rather just the opposite. And by the way, that's what happens in a bull market, as a general statement, is the market starts weak, it finishes strong. In a bear market, it does just the opposite, as a general statement. Not every day, but over time. Anyway, on that second loaf, we gradually again, or as I often say, I should say, let that stop loosen up. We're shifting gears from the swing trader to the longer term trend follower. Without going into a lot of details, as I say ad nauseum every week. Longer term trend following, your results percentage wise are going to be abysmal and your drawdowns are going to be abysmal. Like you're going to have like, I'm not going to even get into what the drawdowns could be, but put it this way, most of the turtles blew up after the program because they were breakout trend traders. They were in a good market and that's where they made all their money, not to be short on Friday. But the real money is in the longer term trading. It's just that's where the risk really is too. And something bad can really happen over the short term too. That's why I think if you're a pure short term or a pure long term trader, let's say a swing trader or whatever, I just don't think it's going to work out. Maybe in the long run, but over the short haul, there's going to be a lot of problems. And I think a hybrid approach is the way to go. Now, I'm kind of sold on my own method here. So your mileage may vary, I guess. Or better put, you might feel a little differently, but this is the way I see things, because again, shorter term, something bad could happen. Longer term, there's too much risk. Shorter term, less risk in general. Longer term, much more risk, but much more money. So if you could take a hybrid approach and then shift gears and transition into a longer term trader, then you could stay with a position for a long, long time. Not all the time, but over time, you'll occasionally catch a big winner and ride them out. Anyway, so far so good on there. Here's another, smoke them if you got them. Okay, nice. This is once again persistent, okay? Notice these bars going up day after day after day as a general statement, okay? Don't worry about the opens and the closes. Just draw a line through the bars, and the bars are stacking on top of each other. Also, acceleration. Notice it was in kind of a gradual uptrend. Then it began to take off. You got the nice little TKO type of move there. It's also a pullback, okay? Not quite to the EMA, but deep enough to make it worthwhile. There's all your parameters down below. Entry is here, stop is here, initial profit target is up here. And you can see it triggers an entry, and then bam, it does hit that initial profit target. So you bank 1,000, and at the time of this snapshot, you had $1,709 open. As I'm going through these, I'm thinking like, hey man, is he just showing us the good trades? No, these are all of the trades recently. We had, knock on wood again, we had one loser recently, and I did show you that trade, okay? Maybe two. Depends on how recent. Very recent, not any. Anyway, here's another mystery chart update. You can see nice little pullback to the moving average. That's what I call a Landry Light pullback, 10 to 20 bars of Landry Light. Again, look at the chart. You've got acceleration here. You've got some persistency. It's a little bit more impressive, as I've been saying. If you go back and watch the shows, what was this? Go back and watch the show for like late April or early May, and then the charts will look a lot better. I'll back the chart out so you get there so you can see the setup. A lot more impressive than it looks there. Anyway, there's all the parameters. Now, here's the cool thing. When you get into these stocks that turn into longer term trends, if you're buying at lower levels, they really start to pay off at higher levels. And I'll explain that a little bit more in just one second, especially when we get the KTOs. But that's the beauty of if you can catch a stock at relatively low levels. And I'm not saying bottom fish. It could be making new highs off a big fat base or something, or you just, the price you're buying it is at 20 and you're fortunate enough to ride it to 60 or 80 or whatever the case may be. That's where the real money's going to come in, okay? And one thing I want to get into, and it's just not enough time lately, there's so much going on, but maybe when things settle down a little bit, I can take a lot of these setups that have run their course or close to have, or running their course, okay, midstream, and I can explain to you a lot of the nuances. And we explained a lot of those over the weeks, such as dead money, etc. But there's open profit drawdowns. There's a lot of things that you have to expect and deal with. And the bottom line is you really need to know the nuances. And that's, I'm sure I've talked about that a million little things. If not, I need to. But you can see that in this particular case, you're about 2-3 weeks into the trade and you're underwater. And you're thinking to yourself, well, I'd be stupid to just sit in this losing trade, right? Cut your losses short, ride your winners, right? Well, follow your plan is what you need to do, okay? Forget about all those adages, even though there's some truth to some of them, like that one. But you follow your plan is the best thing to do. And that way, you don't create all this animosity and internal turmoil by trying to second guess and outguess the markets. Anyway, hits the initial profit target, and then it goes back to meander mode, okay? So once again, you're thinking, well, this is dead money, and that's what, a couple of months here that you're losing money, from at least from where you were. You're still above water, but for 2 months, you're giving up open profits. And believe me, that's hard to do. And as I say each week, if I didn't have a trading service, I probably wouldn't be, and I hate to use the word good at this, I probably wouldn't be as good as I am at following this plan, because a lot of the trades I do outside of trading service, I'm not quite as good, But I remind myself, it's like, okay, Dave, let's pretend that that was also under service. How would you play this? What would your plan be? And let's do that. So the service, the trading service, me saying, these are the trades I'm going to take. If you want to take them, fine. If you want to do something else with them, whatever you want to do with them, knock yourself out, right? But I'm going to take them, and I can show you the actual trades on any particular trade you want to see, and I often show them in these presentations, just so you can see that somebody is actually doing this. Now, I might go weeks and sometimes months without doing anything, and that's when I lose all my clients, okay? Because everyone thinks, well, this guy never does anything. I'm just going to go ahead and quit. And I guarantee if I go back and look right before we got into this huge run, I probably lost the majority of my clients, okay? Because nobody wants to be told not to do anything. People crave action. So anyway, 38.18 open. Here's another gold stock. Entry was here, stop was down here. Again, you need to back this chart out to see that trend. That was a pretty good trend way back there, okay? This profit target here. And again, this thing was slightly above water, but you're like 3 months into the trade thinking like, oh, Dave, you're supposed to be a swing trader, right? But yes, I'm a swing trader. I want that profit on the first day like we saw earlier, but sometimes it takes time to develop. Sometimes the market doesn't, well, often the market doesn't move on your time frame. We all want money. We all need money, okay? As I say, ad nauseum, almost, well, it's predictable, right? If I go in the house and my wife's in her office, it's like, oh boy, she's in there looking at a bill or dealing with a problem. Yesterday, it was we were told the insurance was going to cover this medical bill. She had a little injury a while back. She's fine now, but she had a little injury, and it's like they kind of got her on a gotcha. Like, yeah, we will. Take this insurance, but this insurance is only going to pay for what they think they should pay for whatever, and you're going to pay the rest of it. So it's just a big mess. I almost said rat F. Anyway, the point I'm trying to get to, believe it or not, I have one, is that every time I go in the house, you know, it's like I'll be feeling good in here, like, okay, I just made some money. Oh, man, I just got whacked. Oh, I'm not feeling so good, whatever. But no matter what, I go in the house, and there's always something hitting you. And the reason I'm saying this is because this goes for everyone. It's not just me that deals with all these different things in life. And that certainly can influence your trading. Anyway, banked 1,000 here. And the point I'm trying to make here, the market operates on its own time frame. And just because you need money doesn't mean the market's going to give you money. And I'm going to circle back to that in 1 second. Anyway, so no longer a dead money trade. Again, stop goes to break even, and then we trail that stop higher, gradually letting it loosen up over time to adjust to the longer term volatility. And as I say each week, if you do this right, okay, so this one, I'm just eyeballing. It's not quite a double, but let's just say it's a double for argument's sake. So now the moves percentage-wise are going to be So now the moves point-wise are going to be much larger than they were than we got started, because the stock price is 100% higher. So you have to adjust to that longer-term volatility. Also, the market's going to correct more, okay, based on a longer-term trade. So you want to try to ride out that correction. You don't know if that correction is going to be the last one, and that's when it hurts. And hopefully it'll be another year or two before I have to show that in the presentation, but it will happen. And it is coming, hopefully not too soon, where you have these sharp drawdowns and you give up a lot of those open profits. That's another one of those. It comes with the territory thing and you have to get over it. Anyway, so 88% open, not quite 100%. All right, this is Kato's. Now this is the ultimate deal here. You can see lots of Landry light and only one bar of, or a couple of bars, I should say, of zero Landry light. That means that the lows have intersected the moving average for uptrends. And you see, there's your pullback, back to chart out, and it looks a lot more impressive than it does here if you want to study the setup in and of itself. Ledger light goes to zero. Very simple pattern to scan for. I'll probably never get around to doing it, but I'd love to do what I call the one pattern challenge and have everybody who signs up, we all trade the one pattern. That one pattern will be Landry Light pullbacks. And I would coach you through it, and I would show you what setups I'm taking. You can show me what setups you're taking. And we can agree or disagree on setups, and we can see at the end how we all do. But anyway, there's all the parameters there. Entry was here. Stop was here. Initial profit target was there. So again, you bank 1,000 or 1% of your trading account overall, whatever that is. Stop comes to break even, okay? And then you trail somewhat loosely on the remainder to hopefully ride out those longer term corrections. So you had a little correction here, which was fairly deep, okay? And then now you're having a correction again. Now this actually looks pretty good if you were thinking about doing an add-on trade to get back into that swing to intermediate term mode. So I forget how many shares this was, but let's just say 200 round numbers. You flipped that 100, so you had 100 on. You know, maybe put back on 50 shares because now it's so much higher in price. It's 100% or whatever it is, higher in price. And then flip them out for a swing trade, okay? That's one way to kind of trade around your positions. A little bit more advanced technique, but it's something that sometimes you can pick up a little extra money doing that, and you hang on to that core position. So far so good, 6,819 or 111% open and profits. Again, big knock on wood on that. Okay, so real quick, I don't have any fresh ogres to show you this week, but I did want to follow up on something that I didn't get around to following up on last week. I got an email week before last or a while back on someone who traded an ogre. And they took one that I recommended, and they took one on their own. And not that I'm the grand poobah, but the one they took on their own did not really qualify. So for an ogre to qualify, and this was an actual trade here that I have on the left that I did take, and I forget which stock this is. I want to say U, which is a uranium stock. Anyway, you want a stock in a really, really nice trend, and it could also be like a trend and then pulling back a little bit, as I'll show you in 1 second. And you're looking to play that it has a gap and then it comes back up. So you have all this demand behind you, and this gap kind of serves a purpose like a trend knockout. But this is an intraday strategy, and sometimes it can work out nicely. And one of the reasons it works, without going into a lot of details, because we've done this ad nauseum, or a lot, I should say, is that the market makers, when the stock gets whacked with earnings or whatever the case may be, the market maker is going to lower the price as low as he can because he's forced to buy that stock. He wants to lower it to a price low enough to where he could flip it out later in the day. Now, sometimes he gets burned, but other times he's able to do this, and that's, we take advantage of that situation and we trade on the side of the market maker. So Stuart, one of my clients, told me that he took the BE trade we talked about in Facebook, and then he was talking earlier about the MLTX trade. I explained to him that you want something to look like BE, and then thank God he took that one to kind of make up for it. But he took the MLTX Ogre. Now, this is the BE we talked about, and that probably was the UUUU I said earlier. So that's what the UUUU you look like for you, or you for look like. Nice uptrend, and you got that kind of that knockout gap situation. And if you look below the chart, this was the BE, and this was kind of like the ogre plus one, plus two, plus three, actually, we talked about last week. So that's what ogres look like. Here's the stock that he traded. Now, it was breaking out to new highs, but it was not trending, okay? It was actually trending sideways, if anything. So it wasn't set up, okay? And then you had this extreme gap to the downside. Now, if you go back to the one off the brand new highs, the UUUU, then that was in a serious uptrend, okay? It wasn't set up, but a serious uptrend. And then you had the gap, and then it's kind of like pushing a balloon underwater or a ball underwater, more accurately, it tends to push back up. In a case like this, stock loses 90% of its value overnight or something. Leave it alone, okay? It's damaged goods. So if there's no setup to begin with, and or it gets decimated like this, then avoid it, okay? So it's just way too extreme. So again, here's that UUUU, which was, this is a stock that's in a nice uptrend, and it looks kind of extreme, but if you back the chart further out, it's not quite as extreme. Oh, this is a intraday chart. This is a 30-minute chart, okay? So it's actually set, here's something, this is why I love teaching, because as I'm showing this to you, this stock was actually set up kind of nicely on a 30-minute chart. This is beautiful because you've got, I'm pointing at the screen like an idiot. You've got, I'm such a nerd. You have persistency back here. You've got acceleration here. And then you've got a nice clean pullback. So that was actually a setup in and of itself on the 30-minute chart. And then you have that opening gap reversal there. So that was that trade. And what happened? Okay, I entered on a stop. Took off. There's only a couple hundred bucks on a trade or whatever it was, but it was better than a poke in the eye. Okay, let's just real quick. I'm not going to spend a lot of time on Ledger 100 because I've talked about it quite a bit. I did want to show you that speculation is still alive and well, and I just grabbed as many that would show up on this, many as would fit in this window, and you can see that here's a gold stock put in. And on 428, and it's up 681%. And then way down here, that's a Kados. Remember that? That's one we're actually long. In fact, a lot of stocks were long. And actually, just a little tease here. I do see one stock in here that was on the aforementioned mystery chart list. Okay. So now you can narrow it down to one of these. Maybe you'll figure it out. Anyway, nice move in these, all of these stocks. And some of these have been here for a little while. See, that's four, so that's a few months. That's May, so that's good. And then some of these are a little bit more recent, but these are pretty good moves. And we've been hanging on to them for quite some time. Now, I don't actually trade that list per se, but I have taken some of the trades off the list. I also have experimented in the past with some of the stocks on the list, and in a small way, and not enough to brag about or anything. I started doing it like right into the bear market and realized that this was going to be a little tougher than I thought. And but I have a few of them that are up, like OKLO is up like about 400%. So there's a few of them that have worked out nicely. But believe me, I just put in a little tiny bit of money in these, maybe like $1,000 a trade or something like that. So it wasn't a whole lot of money, but it's kind of paying off. So it's another testament for trading momentum. Now, again, as I preach, don't rush out and try to trade breakouts unless you're okay with that. And I knew a trader, I guess he's still doing it. He trades breakouts and his percent correct is abysmal, but he does occasionally catch a nice trend. I would rather improve those odds if you had the means to trade 100 stocks like the Landry 100. So that's kind of the proof of concept. Proof of concept that momentum works. Proof of concept that momentum ends badly, okay? Proof of concept that momentum gets hit first before the rest of the market gets whacked, as anybody in my trading service is painfully aware. It's like sometimes you get absolutely creamed on the day and the market might make a little marginal tiny new high. It's like, but gee, the market was up 0.1% and we're down 3% or whatever the case may be. It's like, well, it happens, you know, it comes with the territory if you're trading these more volatile stocks in general, as you should. All right, let's shift gears. Any questions at all? I know I kind of went bonkers. Let me see if there's anything in, nope, we're good. Okay. I just want to do a brief follow-up on Mind the Trade. And last week I talked about nothing more, nothing less. You've got one job, okay? And that job is pretty damn simple, okay? Find a trend, hop on, hop off when it appears to be coming to an end, okay? Go back and look at those two mystery charts. Go back and look at every friggin' mystery chart I've ever mentioned since I've been doing this week in charts over the years, okay? Those are things that I like. Those were trending. Those were set up. And the hop on is an entry, okay, a stop in case you're wrong, and then a trailing stop. And that trailing stop is going to be the hop off point when it appears to be coming to an end. So nothing more, nothing less. And it always shocks me when we get into good markets like this, like, well, hang on, Dave, this really isn't that complicated. Landry-like pullbacks, TKOs, you know, if you're brand new to trading, yeah, like, what the hell is that? But after you see a few hundred of them, they start to stick out like a sore thumb. Anyway, so that's nothing more, nothing less. And the point I was making last week, and I just grabbed this snapshot a little while ago, but the point is you want to reach a point where you're following the plan and your portfolio looks like this. Now, I don't want to jinx myself, but I'll tell you right now, instead of bragging about how great this looks, I'm telling you, we're going to have some drawdowns and eventually we're going to have some losing trades. It happens, okay? But for now, we're just doing the nothing more, nothing less, the trend following moron stuff, okay? When I was first called a trend following moron, I was very offended. I was kind of depressed because this it's kind of like a don't meet your heroes type of thing, you know? Turns out he was a dick, you know? But anyway, I can't get into this now. But I was called a trend following moron, and I was pretty depressed and upset about that. And then the weeks afterwards, I mean, I really took it hard. I mean, this was somebody I would go home and just, you know, jump up and down. My wife would suffer a fool gladly. Oh, he said this, and he likes me. He really likes me. He started fighting the trend, and I kept drawing my big blue arrows, and then we began to disagree, and that's what I got called trend following moron. Anonymously, but I know it was him because I called him on it. Anyway, long story endless, come to find out, maybe I was just a trend following moron, okay? I went through all those phases of grief, denial, whatever, anger, you know? And I'm like, hey, wait a minute, I'm just going to embrace this, because whenever I tried to fight the trend, I lost money. Whenever I tried to outsmart the market, I lost money. But if I just followed along like a good little trend following moron, I did really well in trending markets, okay? But anyway, so here's the ultimate idea, you know, get in the trend right here because you had a setup, okay? Stop in case you're wrong, take some partial profits, okay? Trail that stop higher, let it loosen up, and then try to hang on as long as you can until stopped out. And believe me, that's kind of painful watching those open profits evaporate, but sometimes, I mean, it was painful back here. It was painful right here, okay? From a time and a distance standpoint, from the amount of money you lost plus the time that you were underwater from where you were from that equity peak. That's hard to ride out, okay? Like I said last week, you go in and you're like, oh, I've got this simple little system, and like you start hand testing it, and you're like, okay, I'm still long, still long, still long. You're just hitting a little keyboard, you know, blah, 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 going through your charts. Okay, and you're like, oh, okay, now it's really paying off. It's up 100%. Well, that's a lot easier to just hit a little space bar in one day or arrow, whatever, and one day goes by as opposed to sitting through an entire day. And if you're not careful, you're going to be watching every little tick, and that's going to mentally mess with your head, because a negative observation, as I preach, is going to have twice or more the impact of a positive one. I know I'm slipping a little neurology, but go in and watch as many of these weekly charts and trading quick clips. That would probably be a good place to start, trading quick clips on my YouTube channel and Mind to Trade, of course. Now, what's your job? Is it your job? Is it to look smart? As I alluded to a minute ago, you will look stupid a lot of times as a trader, even if you're doing the right thing. And that's something you have to kind of wrap your head around and embrace. Your job is not to predict the news or factor it in, or more accurately, the reaction to the news, okay? I think this will probably happen. And if this happens, this will probably happen, okay? Well, a lot of times the news is just the opposite because it's baked in the cake, okay? I guess in more recent times, this would work. It's like the Fed finally cuts rates and the market drops because everybody was anticipating the Fed would cut the rates, okay? Or whatever the case may be. Your job isn't to play themes other than those found through trends and setups, okay? Technical analysis. Now, you can make an argument, all wars and shit in the world, yeah, let's own some gold, you know? And that may or may not work. And turns out it actually worked. But the thing I was thinking about earlier is gold's probably not higher because of all the wars and all. There's probably a different reason for that. So even if you get the reason right, it doesn't always pan out like you think it would, okay? Or even if you, yeah, even if you think you got it right, it doesn't pan out. Now, defense stocks, okay? So we got long Katos. Well, Dave, that makes sense because of all the wars and shit, like you just said. Well, not all the time, right? So sometimes defense just doesn't do anything, even though there's all these war stuff happening. But we had the setup. We took the setup, and it played out, okay? We're long a few biotechs because biotech is setting up, and biotech is finally beginning to take off nicely. So, yeah, some of those biotechs may be curing some disease or whatever, so all those stocks that we just looked at, there might be a fundamental reason to buy those, or at the least some sort of theme or whatever. But you don't rush out and do that unless the technical analysis is there. And even better, forget about the themes. Do your technical analysis. Simplify technical analysis, okay? And that's why I put technical analysis in parentheses, trends and setups, okay? And for me, it's going to be something mostly pullback related type of setup. And then let the theme find you. You don't want to trade to prove yourself to anyone other than yourself, okay? I mean, I've done this before. We're all guilty. Come on, you know? You get in a fight with your spouse or significant other or both, you know, and you come in here, you're like, I'll show her or I'll show him, depending on your preference. And if you like both, you're a greedy bastard. I think that's Dennis Miller said that first. Trading for recreation, trading because you're bored or excitement, really bad way to trade. This job is not nearly as exciting as you think it might be, okay? It could be hours. It's kind of like sailing. Hours of boredom interrupted by brief moments of sheer panic. But it's kind of boring, okay? And those months and months and months leading into a great wave like this, okay? A great momentum push are pretty boring. And that's why everybody quits, because they get bored. They're not trading to make money. They're trading for excitement. Well, a big part of trading is protecting your capital. Okay, a couple of weeks ago, I talked about the cash. You know, your job is to sit on your cash, deploy it when it's worth putting into harm's way. Okay, hopefully parlay it, and then sit on a slightly bigger pile of cash, rinse and repeat. Go in and watch those. I know I keep pimping the other videos, but there's a lot in there that's worthwhile. So make sure that you don't have not a hidden agenda, but an alternative motive, or I'm trying to think of a better way of putting it. You want to trade to make money, period, okay? Now, trading to make money does not mean you're trading to make income. I think that's a great way to lose a lot of money, okay? And I think that's what I might have been alluding to earlier when I said every time I go in the house, there's an expense, there's a bill, okay? You know, it's no big deal. It's like, you know, my youngest daughter just changed jobs. She was in between paychecks. She's living in Montana where it's expensive AF to live. You know, she needs $1,000 or something to get her over the hump in between paychecks or whatever. So it's like, okay, you know, it's not like it's a decimate or anything, but it's every time I go in the house, you know, $1,000 here, $1,000 there, a couple $1,000s for this medical bill insurance refused to pay. You know, just a pain in the ass, right? And you're under this extreme pressure. And I'm fortunate to where I really don't have that many expenses. But even not having that many expenses, it's still a lot. You know, you go to the grocery store and sometimes I'll walk out, I'll spend $150. You know, I'll get home and be like, what do I have here? I bought one meal, you know, and a couple other sundries. But it's expensive to live, okay? And there's a constant pressure for income. September, I have taxes due, we have insurance due, we have just all these crazy things. And so last month, you know, I get hit with that, poof, 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 walk in the house, you know, flood insurance due. Poof. I'm like, well, we don't need it. You know, fuck it. Oh, shit. Sorry, let me say that. We'll bleep that out. All right, any questions on all that? Sorry about that. We ended up buying it. But all right, let's shift gears and get into crypto And then obviously we'll take your questions or anything you might have. So if you're on YouTube right now, just because I've got one computer that's not connecting for some reason, just be patient if you're asking any questions there or whatever, and I'll try to check back in soon. All right, for now, let's hop into crypto real quick, and then we'll take a look at stocks. Okay, so Bitcoin has been a bit of a disappointment. It seems like every time it hits these all-time highs, it gets whacked fairly hard. And I don't want to confuse the issue with facts, but occasionally I'll see some things on X about these huge blocks that have sold. And these are from early adopters, okay? And these are people that bought it a long, long time ago, and they're looking at huge profits, and they're locking and loading on them. So it seems like that tends to happen quite a bit. And there's nothing to do here, okay, unless it goes on to make new highs and sets up. So I would avoid Bitcoin for now. Longer term, I think I'm still bullish, but from a technical perspective, it's not looking so hot at the moment, okay? Ethereum finally woke up a little bit. If I could find it. There it is. But unfortunately, it's looking questionable too. So kind of a wide and loose trading range down toward the bottom of that range. I would leave that alone for now. Now, as I preach, it usually helps if you have Bitcoin as a bellwether. This one is just a bogus. I don't know what's going on here. It's kind of bogus. But if you take a look at some of these other ones, and if you just go in and look to buy when ideally the bellwether Bitcoin is doing well, you want Bitcoin to be trending and doing well, and then you look to buy some of these strongest shitcoins, okay? Anyway, so I'm not seeing anything to go after. The problem I've had with crypto lately is I'll do my scans, and then I'll say there's nothing there. I'll do them tomorrow. I'll do them the next day. There's nothing there, nothing there. Then finally, that's a stock. That's a gold stock. Look at that. And then finally, I'll notice some of these things are really taking off. KGC's doing pretty good. That looks pretty good. We're long that one. All right, any pairs you want me to look at? I doubt there's anything worthwhile at the moment. Let's shift gears and get into stocks. So let's take a look at the overall market, and then let's drill down a little bit. So the S&P 500, I think I wrote a while back, the easy part might be over. Thrust, pullback, thrust, pullback, thrust, pullback, thrust, pullback. Little consolidation, thrust, pullback. And now we're kind of chopping back and forth. The volatility has begun to increase has begun to increase. So we might have our work cut out for us now. The easy part might be over, at least for now. By the way, I probably, if this market goes on to make new highs, I probably should do another before the bomb blows up presentation. But until unless that occurs, the point I was going to make there, as I've made before, if you go in and look at some of those older presentations that I make when the market's making new highs, is when the market's making new highs, it's a good time to dust off your market timing so you know that what to do when, not if, the market begins to roll over. Anyway, P's, they're trying to find their way. We had the big knockout move, and then it's trying to find a way. It's come back from that, so that's a general positive. But until we break out to brand new highs, I'd be a little cautious. Yes, the trend is still higher for now, okay? And so far, it's looking okay. But I think the easy part, again, is done for now. Now, weekly still looks pretty good. Nice longer-term uptrend so far remaining intact. And the daily looks okay, too. NASDAQ Composite, same sort of action as the P's. And we're not that far away from all-time highs. As long as the market is at or near all-time highs, give it the benefit of the doubt. 10%, good round number. And that's part of the TFM 10% system. Now, Rusty 2000, today notwithstanding, has begun to outperform the other indices. And that's great. That's because these are these small cap stocks are taking off. And we've been playing these wild and crazy speculative stocks in a big way lately. Okay. So that's looking pretty good. Coming back in a little bit, though, it just seems to have a hard time getting going. It breaks out of like a little consolidation, then comes right back into it. I like to see it clear some of these consolidations and not look back for a while. But overall, still looks okay. Metals and mining has been doing fantastic as of late. Look at that amazing trend. Obviously, trees don't grow to the sky. What's the old adage? And it's going to be hard for this to keep going up at this rate. But for now, the trend does remain up. Okay, anybody could see that. And you had a nice little pullback here. Look at that, to the 30 EMA. I'm always shocked when I look back at these trending charts, how something like a Landry-like pullback would have gotten you into that. I'm not bragging. It's just when the market is trending, these things work really, really, really well. Gold, the commodity, look at that, accelerating to brand new highs, a little bit of vigor. We're long Kato's, TFPM. And I'll give you another hint. That mystery chart might have been a gold stock. What? Look at the gold stocks. Bam, winning. Brand new highs there. So far, so good. Throw a dart within the metals. Silver's been doing well. Begging on new highs today. Platinum, palladium's been doing pretty good. Lithium, little pullbacks along the way here and there. It's doing well. Uranium, today notwithstanding, has been doing really well. So the rare earths are joining the party. You've got silver. You've got gold. So it's all looking pretty good, for now at least. Semiconductors, opening gap reversal today, but they're still a little higher on the day, and they do remain a nice trend. Nice little knockout move here. If we take out this high, then it looks pretty good. So it might be worth a shot. The semis in general have been looking pretty good, so keep an eye out for potential setups there. One thing I'm kind of excited about is I wouldn't rush out and buy them, but some of these weaker areas like health services or the healthcare sector have been improving as of late. So that's good to see some of these weaker areas kick it into gear. It's good to see the smaller cap issues do well. Pot stocks have been doing pretty good, but they've got a mountain of overhead supply above them for now, at least. I'm long TLRY there, full disclosure, as I think I mentioned earlier. That was on a Landry list a while back when it was like 50 cents. But it was too crazy to put as an official setup. Defense has been doing really well. So far, so good. Nice little pullback to the 30 EMA. And look at this. It's pretty amazing. I'm just seeing it for the first time or first time in a while. Notice we only had a couple of kisses of that 30 EMA. And also, this is something that, and again, kind of learned through teaching. It's a great pattern to look for confirmation. I don't know if you want to trade off of it, but you have a stock or a sector comes up or an index or whatever in basis, and then the 30 EMA just comes, hugs its bottom, right? And it doesn't really break that 30 EMA like here, okay? It kind of catches up, consolidates, and then bam, makes a new leg higher. So that's something I would pay attention to, keep an eye out for. Clean energy's been doing really well, okay? You know, a lot of these clean energies are always the energy of the future, and it seems like they're always energy of future, but looks like the market's waking up to them. Tons and tons and tons of overhead supply. So you've got all these people who bought it back here who were very excited about it and lost all their money. They might be looking to get out of break even. That's the only downside there. But on an issue-by-issue basis, it might be worth a shot. That NUAI we're long might be considered clean energy. I'm not sure. I'm trying not to confuse the issue with facts too much. I do like to pay attention to what sector I am. Now, all in great to world, some areas like financials, and then today looking kind of ugly. You can see we have a bow tie in the works. Yeah, that's a bow tie to the downside there. So that's looking kind of toppy and questionable. So there's always something to worry about. But overall, things still look pretty good. Again, this trend's not going to last forever. It will come to an end. That's one of the hard things as a trend follower, you know, because I'm sitting there going like, okay, if this keeps up by March, I should be done. You know, and whenever I feel like that, it's like it's always it's getting close to the end. So this time I'm not as excited as I was last time, although I did put out a tweet that is a little bit how it is. You know, it was like the Wednesday before that big spike down was kind of like, you know, this is great. You know, did I get spiked? Did it spike down and knocked out a bunch of stuff and frustrated, you know, and then market starts rallying again. It's like, I'm back, bitches. You know, we all go through those cycles. All right. You guys want to look at any in particular stocks in particular, any questions, any thoughts? I know as usual, I'll kind of go ramble and not sure if anyone's picking up what I'm putting down, but so far so good in the markets. All right. While we're in impasse, I want to thank everybody for attending. I appreciate you taking time out of your busy schedule. Anything unanswered, DaveLandry.com. I'll see most of you guys and girls on Facebook in a little while, and everyone else, hopefully see you again next week. Everybody have a great weekend, and may the trend be with you. You're welcome.